There was a science fiction TV show in the 70s called Battlestar Galactica. It was remade in the early 2000s. I've been watching some of those episodes. It's about a story of a remnant of human beings, and they're traveling on a fleet of spaceships, okay? And they're trying to get back to their home planet where they originated from, a planet called Earth. And on the way, as they're trying to get home, they have an enemy that's trying to attack them. So they're either trying to conquer their enemy or they're trying to escape from their enemy in all the episodes as they journey back to a planet called Earth. This story is not that different from ours, and I want to explain some of that as we go today. Welcome to our fourth and final week of our series called Battlefront. I've mentioned each and every week that I've never preached on spiritual warfare before this series, and now after today, I'll consider myself an expert. No. But I'll have preached 4 weeks on it. If you missed any of the messages and you want to catch up, we have them online, or there's manuscripts on the back discipleship table. Again, this is the wrap-up. During this series, though, I challenged everybody to establish a worldview. What is your worldview? How do you see this world and how it works? In other words, how does good interact with evil? And how does the physical world interact with the spiritual world? You know, what does God do with us? And what do we do with the relationship to God? How does it all work? What's your worldview? And then the Bible definitely says to us that we're in some type of warfare. In fact, we're in a crossfire between a spiritual, that's the heavenly realm and an evil realm, between the power of light and darkness. And they're kind of going at it. But what is our role in this battle? Are we just innocent bystanders? Are we victims? Are we participants? If there's this battle going on, what is our role? Now, if I was going to ask you a question of what you would compare the church to, like what institution are we most similar to? What would your answer be? Now, I would guess that most people would give one of two answers. They would say, well, it's probably either like a school or it's like a home, a family. And those are good answers. Because it is like a Christian education, it's where you go to learn about God, learn about man and how we interact with God. So it's like a school. We're also a place where you find support and encouragement, and we try to love one another like a family. We try to build that type of atmosphere. So that's a really good answer, too. Now, a few of you might even give a third answer. Some people might say a hospital, which that part of the equation is relevant, too, because we've been even encouraging this in our direction as a church, that we're becoming more and more about people helping broken people. So we are like a hospital. But there's one more institution that most people would never mention. That needs to be part of our list, our understanding of the church. We are like a military base. You can't read very far in the Bible and not come to this conclusion. Now, I know some people, on one level, some people argue that Jesus was a pacifist and that he calls us to be pacifists, but that's really not what I'm talking about. It's clear that Jesus and his disciples were in a war. A war that Jesus was determined to win. Last week I talked about how Jesus came and died for us. We talked about how he defeated Satan and how he calls us to take our place in that battle. Now I know some of you out there have served in the military maybe, and you're very comfortable with the idea of us being in a battle because you know what that's like. And I again thank you for your service and what you've done for us. But for many of us, including myself, this seems foreign. I've never been in a war like some of you have. The only thing, you know, maybe some of us have ever punched is a clock, right? We've never actually been in physical battles. So when did this war begin? How did we get caught up into it? How do we fight in it? Well, of course, the obvious answer, the war began when some angels chose to try to be like God rather than serve God, and they fell free will. God always gives free will. They came to earth, and then through a form of a snake, tempted man, woman in the garden. And since then, there's been battles throughout the ages. And Satan's won some of those battles through Cain and Saul and Judas. God has also, of course, won many more battles. Moses, David, Paul. And Jesus, of course, won the ultimate battle where the victor was declared. But for now, he calls us into battle. So I mentioned before this Battlestar Galactica show. Well, the people are in this battle, whether they choose to be or not. Now, you can either fight against the enemy, or you can just try to hide out and hope he didn't find you, right? Just take refuge in your ship. Hope he doesn't come your direction. And I'm afraid that many of us, including myself at different times in my life, have been hiding out. Hiding out in our churches, hiding out in our homes, hoping that the battle doesn't come to us. Hoping nothing bad really happens. But it happens. It happens all over the globe. And not just on a cosmic level like we saw with the video at the start of the sermon, but just in our individual battles for how to live and keeping our thoughts straight and pure and not find discouragement or not find condemnation or not find pride. It comes to us, doesn't it? I mentioned before that I see now evil rather than trying. I don't separate these three things as much as I used to. I really used to separate that there was evil that is because of our individual sinfulness. You know, we do have that tendency to sin, and that's valid. We also live in a fallen world where other people have the same sinfulness, and we live in a world that the environment and tornadoes and earthquakes, and then we also have Satan and his legion of demons. And what I used to do, much more than I do now, is I used to try to just say, well, that problem is there, and that problem is there, and that problem is there. My understanding now has changed. Not that it can't be more one than the other. It can. But all three are wrapped up together. All three are wrapped up together. And when you got one, you probably got the other two. At least a little bit. So there's this temptation, though, that we go into this prevent defense mode, right? You know? I was going to say, you know, we know we live in a fallen world because people actually root for the New England Patriots, right? That's just for my Buffalo friends here. Personally, I would have said Los Angeles Lakers, but Sandy would have gotten mad at me for saying that, so I did not. We can keep doing what we always do, and we can hope the enemy leaves us alone. But what does Jesus say to that? What does Jesus say to our stubbornness to not engage in the battle? You know, he talks about people who don't use their talents, doesn't he? One had just one talent, tried to bury it, hold it. Jesus said, no, I'll take it away from you if you're going to do that. You got to use it. Or in Matthew 25, he separates the sheep from the goats based on what they did and they didn't do. Revelation 3, God even says to a church, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. These are hard words. These are hard words. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I do believe that there is much time for rest. The Bible definitely holds that up as an important thing to do. And this time of year, a lot of us are resting. In July and August is a good time to rest, retreat. But let me ask you, is your rest and retreat just to lay on the beach, which we're going to be doing next week? Or lay on the couch? Or is your purpose for something greater than that? Because rest includes mending your wounds from your battles. It includes healing, restoring you as you prepare for the next battle. Prepare. This is one of the words that we're called to do in your bulletin if you're keeping track. We're supposed to prepare for the next battle. Because those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Right? So rest this summer. Get your, just take some time off. But prepare. Wait on the Lord. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the darkness, dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Prepare. The next thing we got to do is we have to plan. We have to plan for our next battle. You have to plan every day because you know the battle is coming. Whether you set the battle or whether it comes to you, you have to plan for the next battle. Our church, we rest and restore and we think about the fall. We think about what move is our church going to do next to be effective in helping people know Christ. And your plan is always to stand firm in his righteousness and in his peace. In his righteousness and his peace. And that doesn't come naturally unless you plan, make a plan, you follow the plan. Now reading on in Ephesians a little farther in chapter 6, it says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in your place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The third thing you need to do is to equip yourself with the weapons that God gives you. Right? You need weapons. You're going to be able, if you're going to be in a war, you got to have weapons. You got to have a helmet. You got to have a shield. You got to have a sword. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So when that little whisper comes to you, telling you thoughts that are not of God, you block it. Take the helmet of salvation, which you push your entire being placed under that helmet. I am a child of God. I am saved. No matter what the devil does, no matter what evil tells me, no matter what my own sinful nature tells me, I am God's. My identity rests in him. And the sword of the Spirit. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. My friends, I know it's easy to be. I know most of us in the church that call ourselves Christians don't pick up the Bible as much as we should. But it is a weapon you're going to need. It is a weapon in your life. Read it. Study it. I don't know if there's any greater thing you can do in your life to prepare yourself for the battle more than picking up the Word of God. I don't care how much you read. I don't care what part you study. Just read it. You may not understand all of it. That's okay. Read it. Finally, the last thing you need to do is you need to have power. You need to have power in the battle. And your power comes from having the Spirit of God in you. If you're not a Christian, we don't believe you have that Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have some sense of God's presence, but we believe there is an indwelling of the Spirit that comes when you know Christ. And but you can foster that Spirit or you can push it back away. And so some of us need to learn just better to foster that Spirit. Lean on that Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." We watch these shows like Battlestar Galactica, and something resonates within me. And sometimes I wonder, is it just a good show, or is there an underlying truth? And sometimes that show isn't very good, so I'm not necessarily recommending it. But there is a truth there, that we are engaged in a battle, and we are trying to find our way home. Our way home. We have been given all the armor we need for the battle. It's up to us to use it. And one day, we get to go home, where there's eternal rest in His kingdom. Do you believe it? Do you embrace it? Because raise up the sword. Use the sword now. Use the shield now. Use the helmet now. Because one day, you'll be in His kingdom. And you'll be home, and you'll be able to just rest. Yes, warfare is just one aspect of our church and our mission. Our theology needs to be knowledge-based like a school. Our theology needs to be relationship-based like a family. But don't forget this element. It needs to be warfare-based, like a military camp. It's time to decide, plain and simple. Are you in the battle? I know there are days that maybe I'm not. Are you in the battle? Do you want to be? We need to be. Now, I called our church last week to memorize something that I think will help us in the battle. Now, again, I just chose something that was meaningful to me. I hope it's meaningful to you. I thought it just resonated with my spirit. And it's to memorize 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. I'm going to read that again here in a second. And I'm praying for you and myself that we memorize this scripture, and we memorize it during the summer. So by September 1, I'd love a goal, 50 of our people to have this memorized. And I'm keeping a little tally, not names, just a number in our lobby here. So when you know it, you'll be able to, when you've said it to yourself or somebody else, change the number or let somebody, one of our staff know, we'll change it for you, whatever you want to do. But let me read it again. Keep in mind, I what we are called to do is in blue, what Satan does is in red, and what God does is in green. I'm going to read it to you. I have most of it memorized. In fact, I did have it memorized the other day, but I'm struggling a little bit not to forget one part of it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He will lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. But be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, once you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Take these verses. Think about them. Pray about them. Remember them. And they will give you armor for your day-to-day life.